Good morning, Lillooet, and welcome to another day of live broadcasting here on CHLS 100.5 FM. My name is Jeff O'Kelly. This program is Snooze Button, and I'll be with you until 9 o'clock. We started out with music by Alfredo Piatti. We heard one of his caprices, Caprice No. 6 for solo cello. That was a recording with cellist Sue Bae playing. That's S-O-O-B-A-E. And in a few minutes, we're going to come back and listen to two more of the caprices of Piatti, and I'll tell you what little more I know about him. Right now, though, let's do the weather and road reports. Yesterday, we had 5.2 millimeters of precipitation, all in the early morning, I believe. The low yesterday, 14.6. The high made it up to 27.1. That 5.2 millimeters of precipitation combined with what we got early on Sunday morning means we had more than 9 millimeters of rain over those 2 days, which for this time of year is a surprisingly large amount. As of 7 a.m., the temperature at 13 degrees. It was an absolutely beautiful sunrise this morning, although it was getting quite chilly just before sunrise, and then the sun cleared the mountains and things started to warm up again. Environment Canada tells us today a mixture of sun and cloud, a 40% chance of showers this afternoon, wind from the south at 30, gusting to 50, a high today of 27 degrees, the UV index at 7, which is high. Tonight, partly cloudy, 40% chance of showers this evening, wind from the south at 20 kilometers per hour, a low tonight of 16 degrees. Tomorrow, mainly sunny, increasing cloudiness in the morning, then showers, and the risk of a thunderstorm in the afternoon and evening. Precipitation amounts between 10 and 15 millimeters, which is a fair bit. Wind from the south at 30 kilometers per hour, gusting to 60 in the morning, and a high tomorrow of 23 degrees. Thursday looks like showers are inescapable that day, a low of 12 and a high of 22. And then after that, things clear up and start to warm up again, not excessively though. Friday, sunny with a low of 13, a high of 25. At this point, Saturday predicted to be sunny with a low of 14 and a high of 29. And taking a look at conditions across the country and around the province, right now in Halifax, mainly sunny and 23 degrees. Montreal is 25 and mainly sunny. Toronto, sunny and 26. In Iqaluit, it is plus 9 with mist. Winnipeg, sunny and 19. Regina is 19 degrees and sunny as well. Yellowknife has smoke at 17 degrees. Edmonton, 17 and sunny. Calgary, cloudy and 14. In Whitehorse, it is 9 degrees and mainly sunny. Prince George, misty and 11. And a little closer to home, Clinton is sunny and 11. Their air quality statement has been rescinded there, so I guess things have cleared up quite a bit. Hope, sunny and 13. Kamloops, 16 degrees and mostly cloudy. 10 degrees in Pemberton. And in Vancouver, partly cloudy and 15 degrees. And on the highways, starting with Highway 40, there's nothing for Highway 1. Highway 40, construction from 12 to 16 kilometers west of Lillooet, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. That will continue through September 15th, single lane alternating traffic there. And then we go to Highway 99 south. Doesn't say specifically what this is, but there is a special event that will be affecting traffic on the Duffy Lake Road between Pemberton and Lillooet. They don't say exactly how much of the road. That is happening today, 9 a.m. until 9 p.m., and there will be intermittent lane closures of 3 to 5 minutes per interval. Motorists are to obey signs and traffic control persons and to drive with caution through the lane closure area. And then we've got the usual note about construction from 14 to 28 kilometers south of Lillooet on Highway 99, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday, continuing through September 15th with single lane alternating traffic there. And then coming up on the 27th, which is this Sunday, yes, I am looking at the right month, just going to put this in your head now so you can plan ahead a little bit. The Ironman Triathlon taking place that day between Whistler and Pemberton, 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. There will be various delays and closures, and I think that's all that I will give you on that now. I'll give you more details on that when we get a little closer, but just something to think about in advance. And that is it for the weather and roads. Okay, let's go back to Alfredo Piatti, born in 1822, died in 1901. He was born in the Italian town of Bergamo, and his father was the leader of an orchestra there, concertmaster of the Bergamo Orchestra. And so Alfredo started receiving musical instruction at a fairly young age, initially primarily from his uncle, who was a cellist. I don't know why, but Piatti at a young age seemed to gravitate to the cello. By the time he was 10 or so, he had already been admitted to play as part of the orchestra. Of course, remember, his father was the leader of the orchestra, so that may have had something to do with it. And not too long after that, he was selected, this time not by his father, but selected to play a cello solo at a performance taking place at a festival in Bergamo. And there was another Bergamese cellist by the name of Menghi, if I recall correctly, who was better known, had a well-established reputation. He was known to be a great teacher and taught at the Milan Conservatory. And Menghi apparently felt that this solo cello part that was given to Piatti should have been given to him. But Piatti went ahead and played it, and with great success. And a couple of years later, when Piatti was applying for entrance to the conservatory in Milan, Menghi, the cellist, was initially against Piatti's application. Apparently later he did agree to it, and then Piatti went on to become Menghi's pupil. So kind of an awkward situation all around there. Anyway, it was over a number of years that Piatti was writing a set of 12 caprices for solo cello. He went on to a brilliant career and wrote a collection of finger exercises and things like that, studies and such for the cello that became fairly standard for young cello students and is still used by cello students today, although by no means exclusively. So he wrote these 12 caprices where he was sort of trying to write music for the cello that it doesn't seem to rise to the same fantastically difficult heights as the music of Paganini does, but I'm sure it's still pretty darn challenging in its own right. And there wasn't a lot of music for solo cello at this time apart from the solo cello suites of Bach. So it was good for Piatti to be throwing out some new repertoire there for cellists. So we'll hear two more, Caprice number 7, marked Maestoso. If I recall correctly, this is one where the tune is carried in the bass notes of the instrument, and then there are little decorative flourishes that take place above at higher pitches than than the tune in the bass notes. And it's kind of a repetitive pattern like that that runs throughout the piece. And then Caprice number 10, marked Allegro deciso, decidedly in a fast tempo. This is another one that makes use of a repetitive rhythmic pattern, something that comes up in quite a number of these caprices. So, music by Alfredo Piatti, the cellist once again, Su Bai.
Thank you.
That was Alfredo Piatti. We've been listening to two more of his caprices for solo cello. We heard numbers 7 and 10, and by accident we heard the first few seconds of number 8. Sorry, my finger was not hovering over the pause button on the CD player as it should have been. That was a recording with Canadian cellist Sue Bae, spelled S-O-O-B-A-E. It is 8:21, and let me tell you what's coming up today on Radio Lullabot. When Snooze Button wraps up, I'll leave you with music from the Jazz Blues Soul playlist. Assuming my memory works properly, at 10 a.m., I'll put on People of the Land with your host, Rosalind Narcisse. That is a pre-recorded edition of the show. Later this afternoon, Democracy Now! From 3 until 4 p.m., and then this evening will be an encore presentation of Music for the Middle Ages with your hosts, Jim and Aura. I think it's a show from back in June, if I recall correctly. And if you would like to check the details of the schedule, you can go to our website, radiolullabot.ca. You'll find many shows there posted in podcast form. And you can also find a link to live streaming Radio Lullabot and lots of information about community events and announcements and things of that nature. For that latter stuff, when you go to the website, near the top of the page, you'll see a tab in the middle that says Shows and Broadcasters. Click on that, and you will then find one that is called Lullabot Public Service Announcements. Click on that, and that will get you to all those announcements. Okay, oh yes, we need to do fire stuff. I don't really have a lot of information here to pass on about the Botany Road fire north of Lytton, but there is a bit of new information. The bulletin currently posted on the bcwildfire.ca website is from yesterday evening, fairly late yesterday evening. That fire still estimated at a size of 1,500 hectares. However, the good news is it is now listed as 15% contained. As of yesterday morning, that was 0%. Status, however, is active. There is heavy smoke in the area, and it says steep terrain, dry conditions, and high winds continue to contribute to aggressive fire behavior. Ground crews and equipment will continue to reinforce fire guards along all sides of the fire, and crews were working on this overnight. Let's see, there are evacuation alerts and orders in effect, and I'm just going to see if I can get to those right now. I should have had this already open. This is at the Thompson-Nicola Regional District website. And it says the area under an evacuation order covers all properties from Botany Creek Road and the junction of Highway 12 north up to Botany Lake. If you want to get that information about the evacuation order and the evacuation alerts, go to tnrd.ca and you'll be able to track it down there. But going back to the BC Wildfire website, mentioned here that the reception center for evacuees is located at the Parish Hall at 147th Street in Lytton. There was another meeting held there last night for residents of the area, providing them with information. Cause of that fire still under investigation, and there are currently 121 firefighters, 6 helicopters, and 11 pieces of heavy equipment working on that. So that's all the fire news that I have. Alright, I try to be kind and not play a lot of the music of Gustav Mahler here on Snooze Button. It's lots of people I know don't like music by Mahler. I don't know what to say about that. Part of me feels like Mahler is one of those things like Retsina or Mel Torme that you like immediately or you dislike immediately. But I also sort of feel like that if you pick and choose carefully among your movements of Mahler from his nine symphonies or quasi 10 and a half symphonies, don't ask. It would take too long to explain. If you pick and choose carefully, you can find movements that are quite congenial for listening. And I'm going to play one this morning I haven't played before. In fact, this is probably your easiest option, the easiest way into Mahler is this particular movement. It's the second movement of the Symphony No. 1. This movement is what is known as a Ländler, and a Ländler is an Austrian dance that is a it's a relative of both the waltz and the minuet. It tends to be a little bit faster and a little bit musically heavier than a minuet. It definitely is not courtly in style, and it tends to be a little bit slower than a waltz and have more of an emphasis on sort of stomping kind of rhythms. Then there's a middle section to the movement, which is called the trio section. That's a historical artifact going back quite some time before Mahler, when you had a trio, so-called trio section, in the context of the middle of a minuet or a scherzo. It was, at one point, just three instrumental lines that were written for that middle section. By the time of Mahler, it could be just about any number of instrumental lines playing, but it was still called a trio, and like its earlier predecessor, that tends to be the trios in this later period tend to contrast with the outer sections of the piece. Whereas the Ländler opens in a fairly fastish tempo, the trio is much slower and more gentle in its overall style in this particular movement. We're going to listen to a recording using the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra, or as they are also known, the Bayerischen Rundfunks-Sinfonieorchester. And that's just a fun name to say because of Bayerischen Rundfunks. They were not the first orchestra to make a complete recording of all the Mahler symphonies, a cycle of his symphonies, as it's sometimes called. I think they were the second or third orchestra to get around to doing that in the stereo era. I'm pretty sure that Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic beat them. But at the time that they did their complete recordings, which was in the latter 60s and early 70s, if memory serves correctly, at that point, Mahler symphony recordings were not so thickly strewn on the ground as they definitely are nowadays. And so these were very welcome recordings at the time, and they've been since re-released at least twice on CD. And they're very welcome now as well. The Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra was and is a very, very fine orchestra. Maybe not in the absolute top notch if you look at orchestras like Vienna or the London Philharmonic or the Berlin Philharmonic or Chicago or something like that, but just a little below that. And more importantly, this orchestra, they seem to always play with a great sense of involvement. And in this case, even a sense of fun, not just in this movement, throughout the complete cycle of the Mahler symphonies that they recorded. They sound as if they're really enjoying themselves, and if they're not, as if they are not on automatic pilot. And you can't say the same of all orchestras that have recorded Mahler symphonies since. So I've been very pleased to make the acquaintance of these recordings again. When they were issued on LP, they were kind of my entry into Mahler in my first year of university. And when they were on LP, the LP sleeves came with artwork by Gustav Klimt, a great Austrian artist who was working very much at the same time as Mahler. And Gustav Klimt is, he's just one of those artists that early first-year university students tend to gravitate towards, and with good reason. It's great. It's absolutely great art. There's no question about that. But I have to admit, I think it was the Gustav Klimt art that attracted me to Mahler in the first place, since I didn't know anything of what I was getting into with the music. But once I had heard it, I quite liked it. Anyway, enough of that. Let's hear the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra with conductor Raphael Kubelik. And here they are with the second movement of Symphony No. 1 by Mahler. Thank you. See, that was over quickly and it wasn't painful at all. We just heard the second movement that comes from Symphony No. 1 in D major by Gustav Mahler. That was a recording with the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra and the conductor was Raphael Kubelik. And I have a couple more movements in mind from the Mahler symphonies that I'll bring in probably during the summertime. He seems very summery to me. Let's see, it's 8:37, so I think we better do some public service announcements. Let's start with the next of the sponsored hikes put on by the Rec Center. This is the one to a day hike to the Downton Alpine Meadows that will be taking place July the 24th. That is Thursday of this week. The difficulty level is registered or listed here as moderate. And the cost is a drop-in fee for the usual drop-in fee here at the Rec Center, or if you're a Rec Center member, it's free. And all these hikes led by Wayne Robinson, a very experienced hiking guide. And this one is a very nice little hike. I've been on it. Only takes up part of your day. It's not a huge thing. And there need to be a minimum of 8 registered participants for the hikes to proceed. I think when I checked last Friday, there had only been 2 people registered for this particular hike. But it's a good one, so get in on this while you have the chance. There are other hikes planned. August 7th, a day hike to Holbrook Peak. That's listed as difficult. August 18 to 22 will be a multiple-day backpacking trip into the South Chilcotins. The cost on that, $120. Food will be provided. Space is limited. So if you'd like to get more information, get in touch with the Rec Center, 250-256-7527. And I think everything else we have is pretty much related here to the upcoming Apricot Chakram Festival. So, let's see, starting with the steak dinner at the Legion, that is Saturday, July the 26th. Steak dinner with garlic bread and veggie trays. That'll be from 5 until 8 p.m. at the Legion. The cost is $15 a plate. Tickets are available from the Legion. There are only 100 dinners. So tickets available on a first-come, first-served basis. And there will be hot dog, juice, and chips for $4 available for kids. If you want to get in touch with the Legion and find out about the availability of tickets, give them a call, 256-7332. As part of the Apricot Chakram Festival, there will also be an art show, and I think that's taking place at the Miyazaki House. It certainly looks like it's the Miyazaki House Society that's putting the event on. That will be on Saturday, July the 26th, and they are putting out a call to local artists to share their work in the art show. And if you have some material you would like to contribute to that show, contact Jane at 256-6808. Also, the Lillooet Quilters Guild will be putting on their usual display on Friday and Saturday, the 25th and 26th. That will be their sale table and merchant sale table as well. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, all at the St. Andrews United Church. Admission is $3. Raffle tickets are $2 each, and the prizes are a quilt, a baby quilt, a placemat set, a tote bag. By the way, I recently saw a quilt that I think it's one of the members of the Quilters Guild is working on. I was mentioning the art of Gustav Klimt earlier, and Kathy has made an amazing quilt that includes Gustav Klimt's, one of his most famous paintings, The Kiss, in it. And it's absolutely gorgeous, just stunning. Let's see, what else? The Sturgeon Derby. That will be on Saturday the 26th from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. A dinner at the curling rink from 2 to 4 p.m. I guess dinner, early dinner, late lunch, whatever you want to call it. Prizes will be presented at the curling rink from 5 until 6:30 p.m. The cost is $80 to enter, and you can register at Winner's Edge. Give them a call, 256-4848, if you have further questions. Also, the Route 99 Show and Shine, that'll be taking place here on the Rec Center lawn, I believe. Doesn't actually say, but that's where it is. That's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday the 26th, open to all classes, no judging, no trophy. Registration starts 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. No pre-registration. Entry fee is $10 per vehicle. And if you would like more information, get in touch with Connie Racco. Leave her a message at 256-0116. There will also be a barbecue lunch on site and t-shirts available. And on the Friday and Saturday, both days, the Lillooet Farmers Market. I don't have location for that for those days. At least one of those days may be on the Rec Center lawn, most likely the Saturday, but that's just a guess. Also, the Lillooet Golf Tournament, street dance on Saturday, July the 26th, except it won't be on the streets. It'll be on the Rec Center lawn. That is featuring music by local and very much celebrated Canadian musician Sabrina Weeks, also Sandcastle Theory, and our very own local Wild Onions. A beer garden running at the Lillooet Curling Club, and, oh yes, the community garage sale on Sunday, July the 27th. That will be taking place at 666 Industrial Place. That's the Gold Country Storage. If you don't know, that's from 9 a.m. until noon. And it says no cost in or out. If you have questions, contact Mick Maxwell at 256-4423. And that is it for the public service announcements. For the rest of the show, well, we're going to do an encore anyway, but for most of the rest of the show, we're going to turn now to one of the keyboard concertos by J.S. Bach. And nobody's entirely sure if any of the keyboard concertos by Bach, and I think there's about seven of them, nobody's sure if any of them were actually written for the keyboard. It's known that, let's see, one, two, three of them at least were works that started as violin concertos, and then Bach, he recycled them. He didn't do them. He wasn't the only one. George Frederick Handel also. Of course, keep in mind, these guys wrote vast quantities of music, so a little recycling of their own work is perfectly reasonable. So the one we're going to hear is the keyboard concerto number 6 in F, and we do know what the origin of this is. It actually is sort of the same piece as Brandenburg concerto number 4, except where that concerto features two flutes and a solo violin. In this keyboard version, the two flutes are still there, but the violin has been replaced by a keyboard, and so Bach had to write left-hand parts, among other things, for the what had formerly been a violin part, and just to kind of fill out the texture quite a bit. Of course, Bach was writing these for the harpsichord. Some of them might have been performed on the organ in his time, but I kind of doubt that. But we're going to listen to a recording with modern instruments and with a piano. Just because I think the music stands up well to the piano, and it doesn't, in this music, it doesn't matter so much what instrument is playing as it does how the instrument is being played. And that's largely true throughout Bach's music. So we have a great recording here with he's an American pianist, Murray Pariah. Something makes me think he might have been born in Russia, but don't quote me on that. Anyway, he has recorded all of the keyboard concertos by Bach on the piano. He is also conducting, doing double duty, conducting the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. And he just plays with such a sense of rhythmic liveliness and a spirit of dance. And most of all, and this is so absolutely crucial in Bach, a real sense of fun in the music. And I can't say it often enough. Anyway, here is Murray Pariah with the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields and music by Bach. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was music by J.S. Bach. Very cheery indeed. We've been listening to the keyboard concerto number 6 in F major, and that recording featured Murray Pariah playing the piano, and he was also directing the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. And if that sounded familiar to you, that's because it is the arrangement for keyboard and two flutes of the Brandenburg Concerto number 4 by Bach, which is for violin and two flutes. Okay, made it through that. It is 9:02, and we are going to have an encore. A couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago maybe, I played the Demolitionen Polka, or Demolieren Polka, that's what it's called, by Johann Strauss. I thought that was the one that started with an explosion, but it turned out not to be the case. Demolieren means demolition. But I knew that there was a polka by Johann Strauss that started with an explosion. I'm not sure how that would have been done in his own time, the explosion. And I'm not even 100% certain that I've got the right piece here now. I chose this for timing purposes, but also because I saw it was on the CD in front of me. We're going to listen to the Explosions Polka by Johann Strauss, written in 1847. In 1840, Christian Friedrich Schönbein, a German scientist, had invented or discovered gun cotton, or nitrocellulose to give its technical name. For some reason, this was only reported on in the Viennese press in 1846, and that led to Johann Strauss writing a polka about it. I guess he would use just about anything as an excuse for writing a piece. Anyway, that's what we're going to listen to. It may or may not begin with an explosion. You have been warned. This is a recording with the Vienna Philharmonic, another one of those orchestras. Much more fun to say their name in German, Wiener Philharmoniker, and the conductor is Willy Boskowski. Okay, I have to get the right track here first. Give me a second, folks. Thank you. that piece just makes me laugh. I don't know why. I think it's very funny. The Explosion Polka by Johann Strauss II, and that was a recording with the Vienna Philharmonic, or the Wiener Philharmoniker, if you prefer, conducted by Willy Boskowski. All right, it's 9:06. That has to be it for today's edition of the show, but if you missed the weather at the top of the show, let me give you a quick recap for today and tomorrow. Let's see, as of 8 a.m., we were up to 17 degrees. Environment Canada says today a mixture of sun and cloud, a 40% chance of showers this afternoon.